Amen. I told you this month we're going to be focusing on this shift. And that very first thing that happened when the big quake came. Last week we talked about the great shift. This week we're going to talk about what happened in the great shift. It says that through him we have access. I want to just talk to you for a minute on this topic. Access is granted. You may be seated. Paul simply writes to the mature church. When he shows up in Ephesus, he's talking to a group of people that, number one, they believe that Jesus is. So he's talking to a mature body who already knows that Jesus has died for them. So he is encouraging their faith and strengthening them through giving them some greater wisdom and knowledge on what was happening when Jesus went to the cross. So he talks about this great wall of separation that he abolished, which means that if you think about something being abolished, that means that it's no more. So thereby, whatever was separating God's people from God was kicked down and toe up from the flow up and doesn't exist anymore. So nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And so nothing can separate us. And so often we allow our human relationships to take priority over our divine relationships. And then when somebody lets us down in the flesh realm, we become systematically defeated by nature. We walk around with our heads hung down low, curled up in a knot, and it's simply because you have given your power to the wrong source. Yeah, I know. Some of you might be married. Some of you might be dating. Some of you even, you know, kicking it with a partner and your friend let you down. I'm not talking about tutti frutti or nothing. I'm just talking about just having a true friend, a friend. You know, and your friend let you down and they let you down and you become so discouraged and you act defeated, walking around with your head all hung down. And what? That's worldly nonsense. God did too much to kick down that wall of separation for you to ever walk around with your head hung down ever again. Why? Because if you can look up, you can get up. And so the enemy wants you to look at your situation, and God wants you to look at him who allowed the situation. Oh, understand, God allowed that to happen. What do you mean? God allowed somebody to hurt me? Yeah, he did. Why? Because God knows you. He knows if he lets you have it all your way, you'll leave him. No, he won't, Pastor. All right, let me check the roll then. You start doing it your way, and then you start doing you and taking in everything that was killing you. And then God had to knock you down, and when he knocked you down, you start crying, oh, God, if you get me out of this one, I'll do everything right. And so God got you out of this, and then you got into that. Why? Because things start rolling good again. You know how it is when things are rolling? Huh? You got it going on. You don't need Jesus like you need him now. But when you've been through a few things, huh? When you've learned your lesson, see, it's just like getting a whooping. You know, I was one of those rambunctious kids. I was getting into everything. I'd wait for my dad to turn his back. I want to try something different. He told me not to do it. I'm gonna see why. And I get whooping for it. But after about two or three of those women, I was like, I'm done. I'm going to do what daddy said to do. Why? It's just something about the nature of flesh. Can I just talk to you from a real standpoint? Because in order for you to really understand what you have, this access, you have to understand the process. And so often we get mad at God for taking us through the process. But when you see the process unveiled today, you're going to take advantage of the access and stop complaining about the process. Because the only thing that keeps you out of the access is complaining about the process. If you really understand the process, you're going to be celebrating the access and you'll keep going in. Let me help you out. In the world standards, people line up in lines overnight, camping with bags for some Nikes. New Jordans just hit the market. You know what trips me out? $120 for a tennis shoe. You won't jump no higher than some $30 shoes. I'm just saying. But look, trying to keep up with what everybody else is doing. And so you get in line. Nobody can get in until the doors of the store opens. So the access is denied. But you believe that access will be granted. So you stand in line. A lot of times for hours. Uncomfortable. Hungry. And waiting for access. You know what really trips me out about that? There's only 300 or 400 pair of shoes and be 600 or 700 people. And you stay in line hoping, well, they might not have a size. You start trying to piece it all out. And you say, well, I didn't stand in line for tickets. That don't tennis you. Well, you stood in line for Prince tickets. New Kids on the Block, Miley Cyrus. I don't know who it was. But I know you was in line somewhere. New movie come out. I'm there. Everybody talking about the movie. I'm there. I'm in line. PlayStation come out. Parent. Oh, I got to get this for my kid. Kid played with it for 2 or 3 weeks. Then stop listening to you. And then you get mad at them for the thing you bought for them to stop listening to you. I'm just saying. Help them out, parents. Help them out. So this thing and access, and we get excited. And the thing that we're excited about, we wait for. It's time for us to get excited about God. Because if you get excited about him, you listen, you know God's going to show up. Because you have a reference point. Last time you was tore up from the floor up and you couldn't even help yourself up, God came in and helped you up. Last time you were worried sick about a situation, God fixed the situation. And before he fixed the situation, he fixed you so that you didn't lose your mind in the process. Now with all of that, surely you can wait a little while longer when God is working on something for your behalf. We're so quick to want to take the cake out the oven before it's baked. Hasn't mixed in yet. God's working. He's working. He's working on something for your behalf. And listen, and God says, he says, I'm giving you, listen, after a period of time, God says, my people who I love, they keep sacrificing these sheep and bulls, and the blood is covering up their sins. And God's anger was angry over the sin. Then it came time for the atonement. And so the priest would go in and he would make an atonement for the sins of the people. And after the atonement, the anger of God went away because there was no sin because of the blood of the innocent lamb. And God said, I'm tired of this covenant. The covenant I'm going to make now is where the people would not be able to control my emotions anymore. I'm going to send Jesus so that when he dies on the cross for them, their sins will be forgiven once and for all. Now God cannot get angry anymore. He's just a God of love. Why? Because the moment you sin, The blood of Jesus rushes over before sin gets exposed. The blood covers it up, and God looks over, and Jesus say, what you looking at? I got it covered. So God set up perfection for his people so that death can't get to us. Death may get this body. As a matter of fact, death will get this body one day. But he won't get this spirit, because I'm going to dwell with God for eternity. It's a wrap, baby. Put whatever on me. You can do what you want to me, but you'll never kill the spirit of God, because God has victory. He took the sting out of death and the victory out of the grave for me. Oh! So Paul, he writes and he begins to draw a picture of the veil. Now, the veil does not say that the veil was torn at the top, but the bottom we can't get through. It says it was torn all the way, giving you full access. It was torn so complete that all of us get to go in at the same time. Wait. When you're in line at the store, they only let a few in. And then they close it off and say, hold up. But when, listen, God says, I've done it so complete that all the rest of me, he does not say all of us. He says all of the rest of me, because it says further down, he says that he is the chief cornerstone, building us all up together. In other words, he can't leave none of us out. He's just waiting for us to all get in. And we've been praying in and out. Some days we want in, other days we want out. Some days we're in there, some days we're out of there. What you're really doing is playing the hokey pokey. You put your right foot in, you put your right foot out. Playing the hokey pokey with access that has been granted to you. You have full access, not a little bit. Full access to what? To kingdom living. Access. It means to have liberty or permission, the ability to enter, to pass from, to go to approach. The act of going in and acknowledging. Listen, access means you're no longer out of it, you are now in it. Full access to everything that God has. What is the number one stumbling block that is keeping us from accessing everything that God has for us? Look in the mirror. The only thing that can stop you from having full access to everything the Word of God says that you have is you. Because God called you to holy living. He didn't call you to holy living for 2 hours on Sunday. He didn't call you to holy living for 2 hours on a Wednesday. He called you to holy living 24/7. Access. Listen, he's given us access to everything, but yet we want access to what our partners are doing. I'm going to just go and do what they doing. Or, well, check this out. I'm going to just do me. You keep doing you. You'll get tired of that sooner or later. Trust me, I know. I got a reference. Have a meeting with me. I'll tell you all about it. Paul says, there was a wall of separation where we had no hope. And then he gave us hope when he kicked down the wall, when the veil was torn from top to bottom, giving us full access to everything that God has. The word says he is our peace. And we complain about not having peace. I'm not telling your business. I just know the truth. And, I just need some peace. Yeah, you do. You need some Jesus. Every time you say it, what you're saying, I just need some Jesus. When you get access, you know you have it now. It's a wrap. You have access to all the power and the authority of God. And you got to know that you have access. That way, when somebody comes down on you talking crazy, you don't get all wimped out and say, oh, why are you talking to me like that? Oh, he just hurt me. Forget that. You say, nope, it's a time for me to take advantage of my access. Hold on a minute, partner, while you cussing me out. I'm going in. Jesus, you've empowered me before. You can empower me again. Forgive the one who's coming against me. I just want to be in the presence of God. When you start talking to him about kingdom stuff, don't get in there talking about, oh, God, get them. They did me wrong. No, that's not kingdom living. God bless them. They need a little help because they don't know who they're fooling with. I'm a king's kid. I got access. I'm going, oh, God, you better run and tell your daddy when somebody is talking crazy to you. This morning, my wife comes in and my son's acting different. My two-year-old. And he runs in my office and he don't care who's in there. Because daddy's in there. And he knows, even though my door's closed, because I'm his daddy, he got access. And he opened the door, and they opened the door when he knocked, and he didn't wait to say, come on in. He walked in because he got access. So when he walks in, he didn't look around to see who all that I was talking to. He had an agenda. He wanted to get closer to daddy. So he said, daddy, pick me up. I said, hold on a minute. He said, no, daddy. I want up. I looked down and he was serious. I felt him. He wanted to get closer to me. Because I felt him wanting to get close to me. Ooh, I reached down and I picked him up. What am I saying? When God can feel you want to get close to him. Oh, you don't even have to say nothing. He just knows how you feel when he feels that you want to get close to him. It moves him. So I picked him up. I'm holding him. I said, Dad, I said, let me put you down for a minute. He said, no, Daddy. Don't put me down. I went to put him down, and he grabbed a hold of me. I said, he's desperate. I can't put him down if I want to. What am I saying? You have got to get so desperate about the access
that when you get in there, you don't want to let nothing take you out of being in the presence of God. Sometime when you're going in, I'm not talking about those cute little reserved prayers that you got lined up. Oh, Lord, bless me as I go. Lord, watch over me. Lord, lay me down to sleep. I pray, my Lord, my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray, my Lord, my soul to take. And you jump into the sheets, but you had no feeling in that prayer because your heart wasn't after God. And God says, I'm going to make your heart want the access that I've given you. So then he allows you to go through stuff so that when you go through stuff, that when you get into the access, you don't want to come out. You say, God, I'll never do that again. I let go of you last time, and I almost lost everything. Now that I'm in, I'm going to stay in. Oh, God. Oh, oh. Woo. So he said, well, God, why do I have to go through so much? Why is it that everybody else being blessed and I'm still going through? God said, because I'm taking you deeper than I'm taking everybody else. Everybody can't go where I'm taking you. But I only want to take the ones, the ones that are crazy about me, the ones that long for me, the ones that know that I am the God that will answer all the prayers. So then it reminds me of what Paul says. He grabs a pen, he runs over to Corinth, and he writes, Satan is trying to tempt me and trying to buffet my spirit. So I cried out to God 3 times, Paul says. I cried, Lord, take this from me. Has anybody ever cried out to God? God, help me with this. God, deliver me from this. God, help me. Deliver them. Help my child. Help my mother. Help my friend. Help my relatives. God, help me. Paul said he cried 3 times. And God said, my grace is sufficient for what you're going through. Oh, wait. Then he further says, now here's the process. He says, because my strength is made perfect. Okay, wait. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse 8 and 9. You got to read it in your spare time because it says, his process, he says, my strength, not your strength. He says, his strength is only made perfect in your weakness. So in order for God's strength to empower you, he's got to make you weak. Oh, goodness. So now we understand, because when you get weak, you stop thinking about you. Last time you got weak, you start crying out to God. And so God says, that's how I strengthen you with my strength, because I have something great in store for you. When I thought about that, I thought about, I was reading about horseback riding, and it said nobody could take less than over 200 pounds. Thought about that for a minute. Why? Because the horses that they have can't carry the weight of more than 200 pounds. The horse that God has for you to ride has to be strengthened. No matter what. Oh, goodness. Listen. The weight that you have to carry is going to take his strength. And so God says, I'm going to strengthen you with my strength. Because what I have for you to carry, it's too much. It'll weigh you down. That's why God can trust you with so many people, because he strengthened you through all the trials that you've gone through so that he can allow you to carry somebody else into the access that he's given you. Oh, God. What am I saying? Oh, it wasn't about you. When he afflicted you, it was about who he was going to allow you to bring in. The greater their affliction, the more he's going to use you. And so we stand there. Now check it out. Access. In order to go in, you have to truly believe you have access. Back in the day, I had run of the clubs. Every nightclub, everybody knew me, all the owners. So I never had to wait in line. And listen, I had so much favor at the nightclub that I can go and bring all my friends, and they didn't have to wait either. Isn't it something when you get access that you're allowed to bring others in with you? Listen, it was such a point that I would make a point to go in line and pick out who I wanted to pick to give them favor for a night. And God showed me that. And now I look at the worst sinners and say, God, is this one? Let me grab them. And so people say, why you hang out with that sinner? I said, because God told me to. God has given me access for this one. Don't look at where he is. Look at where he's going. Oh, goodness. When you understand what you have access to, you understand that your daddy will allow you to bring somebody else to experience all the greatness of God that you have. Access. Paul says in Ephesians, chapter 3. He says this. It says, 3. In verse 12, he says, read it slow. In whom we have boldness and access. Say boldness. And access with confidence. Amen. He said, now this is what we have. Boldness with access and confidence. Now listen. We have access to kingdom living. Boldness, access, confidence. John writes it like this. This is the confidence that I have in approaching God, that if I ask him anything, he hears me. And if he hears me and he's my daddy, he's going to give me what I need. Matthew writes in his gospel, which father that a kid would ask for bread, that he would give him a rock. In other words, you're God's kid. You have access to everything he has. You don't have to wimp out because he hasn't blessed you yet. Only reason why he hasn't given you the things that you're believing him to give you is because he wants you closer. You haven't gone in far enough. You just a little bit in. He don't want just a little bit of you. Look, you'll put your foot in. You'll put your arm in, but you won't let go of this crazy way of thinking. You won't let go of that cussing mouth. You, oh goodness. God said, I want all of you. Dip all of yourself in. When I was a kid, I used to get in the water, and I'd get ready to go under. I get all the way here. I go. But I never would submerge because I was afraid of what would happen if I went all the way under. And the same thing happened when I came to Christ. I played the hokey pokey. One while I had waist-deep faith, shoulder-deep faith. I stayed at shoulder deep faith for a long time, all the way up to my neck. Everybody was even a pain in the neck. And God was showing me that I had too much exposed. The more you have exposed, the more the enemy can attack. But when you go all the way in, he don't have the privilege to go in. Last month, I gave you guys a pass. We all have a pass to go in. Listen, the enemy can't whoop you when you go all the way in. Come here for a minute, Gay. Come here, David. Come here for a minute. Listen, they got their pass with them. Listen, this is what happens. Get around me. This is what happens when you go all the way in. When you get all the way in, you're in the presence of God. Only thing that happens is kingdom experiences. And so, listen, go ahead and circle me. And they go around you. So that everything that the enemy does, he can't come in. Because the power of God is circling you. Because you're all the way in. But if you step out, now you're exposed. But God says, listen, God says, I love you enough that I'll put something on you that'll make you go back in. And that's when you go back in and the presence of God is circling you. And that's where you are right now. You're in because you have access. But God said access is granted. So watch this. As you move, the Holy Spirit, they will keep circling you no matter what. Why? Why? Because they're on assignment and you're in. And that means wherever you go, the protection of God is going around you. Wherever you go, if you fall down, they're still around you. If you come up, they're still around you. But God is so awesome that when you want to give up, the presence of God will pick you up. That's what happens when you go in. And don't stay out the full access of God unto kingdom living. Amen. You may be seated. Listen. I'm gonna let you know this. That's why the enemy's been attacking you. So you can run back in. He don't want a little bit of you. He gave you access. You don't go halfway into the movie theater. You don't go halfway into their concert and say, oh, I hear the music, I'm out. No. You have access. You go in. Why? Because God has great purpose for you. And he wants you to know that you've got to be bold about it. Say what you want to say. I'm still God's kid. Somebody said, what's my purpose? You want to know what your purpose is? To inherit the kingdom. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. God says, who is it that I could flow my kingdom down in so that my will could be done on earth as it is in heaven? The one who are going in will operate in kingdom living. What do you mean? Well, the disciples, when they went in and they came unto the world system, but they stayed in, the Bible said their shadow passed over sick people. And because they were in, the sick people were made well. Jesus did not do all that he did to give us full access to his unlimited power for us to stay out and complain about what's not right. It's not time to complain, it's time to go in. Anytime something's not right, God said, come talk to me. I can fix it. God can fix anything. And you want to call a friend. Do you know what happened? That ain't no power. But if you go to God and say, God, you allow this to happen. What's up? I know you up to something great because that's all you do is great. Oh, God, go, come do me great because I'm going to stand here until you do me. And see, because I'm in. If once you know that you in, then you become bold. And then you even tell them, come at me if you want to. You can't touch this. Why? In the Gospel of John, he said the enemy can't touch you. So you could just quit complaining about him because he can't touch you. All he could do is try to get in your mind. And when he tried to get in your mind, oh, I'm not deep enough. I'm exposed. I'm going down in, getting access so that he can't say nothing to me. I just want to hear what the Lord has to say to me. I'm his child. He's my daddy. I'm an heir to the king. I have it all. Be bold about it. Be confident. It might look toe up, but it's only so he can fix it up. Listen, God is so awesome. He says, be confident. That means they gave you a pink slip and you don't have a job anymore. And you could say, that's cool. Because my daddy got another plan for me. Our children, my child teaches me so much about God. We talk about our stuff so much. But God wants us to talk about him. He should be our topic of conversation. And if you happen to bring up your stuff, can you throw in a but God? I'm going through it, but God. They're talking about me, but God. I don't have no money, but God. I feel like a failure, but God. You have access to everything that God has for you. Now, here's the thing. The kingdom suffers violence. The violent take it by force. I dare, I double dog dare any of Satan's imps and wimps to come up in here. I wish they would come up in here. I'm going to release Jesus on them. They might come in one way, but they'll leave seven way. Oh, come on. Come, don't you mess with me. Oh. Preacher, what you talking about? You don't even have nothing. Yes, I do. I got him. And if I got him, I don't have to worry about nothing else. Oh, goodness. As a matter of fact, because I got him, you just pay close attention to him, to me. Because when you pay attention to me, you don't get to see him. And when you get to see him, behold his glory, because he is strengthening me for such a time as this. Give God a hand of praise. Everybody rest to your feet. Tell your neighbor you got access. Say, come on in. You know, I'm seeing God is so awesome. God is so awesome that he has given us all access to kingdom. Now check out how he works. When you come in, everything that's attached to you has to come in. That's how he works. So that means you don't have to worry about your kids anymore. I told some of my friends, God put you, me in your life for a reason. Because he's going to save you. Oh, don't talk that church stuff to me. I said, I ain't talking church.
I'm talking salvation. Listen, everything attached to you, when you go all the way in, you ever seen a whirlpool? You get in, and it'll suck everything else in. And that's what happens with the kingdom. When you go in, your kid might look like they're in a tornado, but they come in too. It's only a matter of time. Because he can't lie. The word is so awesome that it will get you. And if you try to fight it, it'll wake you up and turn you around. Is there anybody in here been turned around? Hallelujah. The church is in a shift. God has been looking down at his church, and people have been trying to build themselves a kingdom. But God says, I'm shifting this thing. And there's a shift right now. And don't trip. When you see a crack addict become a international preacher, don't trip. And you say, well, God, you could have used me. He said, I've been calling you. But you've been playing hokey pokey. But this shift, God's shaking up some thing. And listen, we don't even have a choice in this move. He's changing the hearts of the people to be his church, because his word can't lie. He said, his kingdom shall come to the earth, and his will be done on the earth. And he's made a choice to use people. And guess what? He chose you. When he called me, I ran upstairs and I was crying. I didn't know what was going on. I was serving the devil, and I was a good servant. And God woke me up one night at 3:33 a.m., and I ran upstairs, and my clock was right there. And I looked, and I was crying. I said, God, what do you want from me? My Bible was there full of dust because I'd never opened it. I opened it up. He says, and I just began to read Jeremiah. Said, I anointed you to be a prophet to the nation. I started crying again. I said, Lord, you're not calling me to preach. Still had alcohol on my breath. And I'm crying because I can't understand the power that was upon me. He had dragged me in. I was playing for so long, he snatched me and pulled me in. And I was reading and said, I said, Lord, I don't know how to understand this Bible, and you're calling me to preach. Said, read a little further. Said, don't say you're just a boy, because I have anointed you. I'm going to put my word in your mouth, and you shall proclaim my word. That was December of 1992, and he's kept me in ever since that day. No matter, I made some mistakes, but God has kept me in, because when God does it, there's no use in fighting it. You're going to do what he has called you to do. I said, God, if this is you, hold me. Because I was crying. The next day I got up. I began to get rid of everything that I had. My scale, my rolling papers. Can I just be real with you for a minute?
my books, my tapes. You know that that stuff. And I got a big old Glad bag. And it was a big garbage Glad bag. And check out what I did. I said, okay, I'm going to put you in the closet. In case this ain't real, I'm coming back. See, I'm going to be real with you. But truth is, you guys have had that same conversation. Because you're wondering if you truly do have access. And I went 5 days seeking God, trying to drive to work and pulling over because the power of God was so heavy that all I could do was cry. Friday came. He woke me up at 5 a.m. The garbage truck was coming down the street. I remember this like it was yesterday. God said, I told you to clean your closet. You know how when God speaks, I understand why Lazarus came out the tomb. Because when God speaks, you just do. I jumped up. I ran to the closet. I ran downstairs with my bag. I opened up the door, and this is God. I looked outside, and the garbage truck had stopped in front of the house, and the garbage man was waiting in front of the truck, and he had the biggest smile on his face. As I walked, he held out his hand, and I handed it to him. He told me, "Thank you, son." And I knew that that was the power of God meeting me right then, right there. And God is so God that if you want him, you could have him. But he wants all of you. But here's what I didn't get. God is sovereign. I could want for some stuff and not get it. But what he wants, he gonna get. One way or another. God, listen, he says, this is what God says. He says, be holy, for I am holy. I got news for you. You might cuss a little bit, but you're going to stop. Why? Be holy, because I'm holy. Yep, you might tiptoe every now and then, but you're going to stop. Why? Be holy, because I'm holy. God says, you're going to be holy because I've given you full access to my kingdom. If you have access, give God a hand of praise. You know, when we have prayer, God told me, start prayer on Saturday. The first Saturday I came, first Saturday I said, there's going to be a prayer meeting, 6 a.m. That's what God told me, 6 a.m. First time I came, it was Gabe and I. I got home. My wife said, who came? I said, Gabe and I. She said, maybe you should have had it at 8. I said, no, God said 6. She said, okay, you gave me the right answer. I said, yeah. I said, now? The altar be so full of people, I got to find me a spot. I pulled up here at 5:45, and there was a truck waiting out there for the door to open. Why? Because God has shifted. And if you can't make it here, start off the first step. Set your alarm clock. Fall down on your knees like you're looking for your shoes under your bed and stay there. At 6 a.m., you'll be in prayer with her. That's a step. But I'm telling you, God has shifted some things. Don't be discouraged about anything that's happening in your life right now. There's a reason for it. Hear me and hear me good. I don't care what you're hit with. There's purpose for it. God is strengthening you right now with whatever you're going through. When you come out of this, you're going to be different. You're going to be able to carry some weight. Right now, you could probably get me on your back, but you're going to be able to carry two or three jokers on your back. Because God's up to something. Every head bowed. Father, we thank you for this access.